Welcome to episode 136 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. So, it's the final episode before Christmas, and in this week's show, I'm following up on the previous episode, returning one last time to the conference I recently photographed for one of my corporate clients. Now, having already spoken about how I prepared the images ready for supply to the client, in this week's show, I'm giving you the all-important technical information about just how I created the shots themselves on the night. So, here we go then. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 136. It's just after 10:30 in the morning, and as I record this, it's a Saturday. Now, if you listened to episode 135, the most recent podcast as I record this, you'll know that I recently photographed a conference for one of my large corporate clients. And at that conference, the keynote speaker was Condoleezza Rice, the former Secretary of State in the United States. Now, in that episode, I was talking through the process of putting together some prints for the delegates. I don't do a lot of print work, as I alluded to there, but every year I do provide that service for this client. But I did promise that I would speak this week about more of the technical side of things when it comes to the actual photography, because there were a couple of arrangements at that conference. There were the sort of static meet the delegates type pictures where Condoleezza Rice stood there and had her picture taken with people that came along and wanted their picture with her. But then there were also the conference shots, the live shots as well. And I know that I speak about this every year, and it's always well received. So I thought I'd just talk about this year's event. So the where to start? I'm just in front of me, I've got my computer on here, and I have Bridge fired up, and I have a set of images. I've actually got some behind the scenes pictures that I took. Really, they were really just sort of reference shots, really, because I knew that I'd be speaking about this, so it was more of a reminder for myself. So I haven't decided yet whether the picture that illustrates this week's show is going to be a picture of me with Condoleezza Rice, or whether it's going to be the setting where the pictures were taken. I haven't quite decided yet. What I thought I'd do is start off, just talk through the process as I went through it. So I arrived, and I may have said some of this last week, but I arrived at about 1:30 for a 2:00 start. And the first thing I did was set up the area for the static posed shots. Now, as I look at this picture in front of me, it's a very typical, it's a very lovely hotel in London, but it's a very typical room. It's kind of bland colourings, and I mean that in the nicest possible way. It's sort of beige and sort of a very elaborate patterned carpet and what have you. So because there was a request again this year for no flashlights to be used, I had to use my continuous lights, and these were a couple of 1000 watt lamps which I bounced off the ceiling. So for this arrangement, I had my Nikon D3. I had the camera set to about f8, because there are going to be, in the most part, two people appearing in each shot, and on one occasion there are four people, but just to make sure that it was nice and sharp, sort of the two people left to right and back to front, but equally not having too much of this it's like a velvet is it velour, sort of like a velvety curtains in the background, very neutral But equally, where it catches the light could be a bit distracting if it was too sharp. So shooting at f8, and one of the shots that I took here was actually, I made a note of the settings that I wanted to use, and those were written on. I looked in my my case, and I always, for this event, because I'm travelling up to London, I always take a Pelly case. It's a 1510, and I will link to that in the show notes. A lot of you may know it's my go-to case. It's a hard shell case, very durable, runs on wheels, so when I'm sort of going up on the train and what have you, it's easy to drag it through town. But one of the things that I had in there was some zinc oxide tape. Now, I wrote an article some while ago on the website, and I'm just having a look to see. Okay, this was back in October the 25th. This year. Sticky Tape to the Rescue is what I called it, and it was a very, very short piece, and it just talked about some of the useful sticky tapes that I use that help me out on location, and top of the list is always electrical tape, but then you've got sort of gaffer tape and this sort of thing. Hazard tape is another one there, and zinc oxide. Now, zinc oxide tape is more of a medical tape. It's used for I believe sort of keeping bandages stuck together and this sort of thing, but I always have it mostly because I leave some in my case, because if it's a very cold day and I'm outdoors, which of course I wasn't really for this shoot, I just have this paranoia about losing my wedding ring when I'm on location, so I always take some of that and just wrap it around my finger just below my wedding ring so it doesn't slip off. But that was the... I had that, and I had a Sharpie pen in my case, as I always do. So I just made a note of my settings, and I'm just having a look at one of the pictures here, and it says there are two tabs of this tape. F8, 1/100th of a second, ISO 6400. Now, just to remind you guys that maybe don't know, the Nikon D3 is very good at high ISO, so... with this light setup, you do get a bit of digital noise, but it's nowhere in the realms of being distracting. It's absolutely fine. It's not ideal. I'd rather use flashlights, but you have to go with, you know, sometimes what the client requests. So I made a note of those settings, and I stuck that tape alongside the upright of one of my light stands, which on this occasion I used some two Manfrotto nano stands, and as I say, I'll link to all these things in the show notes. So I took the lens for this was a 24-70 f2.8, and of course I'm shooting on Nikon, as I say. On the floor I put down a bit of hazard tape, which is, I use yellow and black hazard tape. And it was really just to be that sort of X marks the spot, so I could think, as soon as we got going, when people were there, I just could say, right, stand just by that spot, and that was, I knew that everyone would roughly be in the same position. It was handheld, of course, but for the framing, it just made it very quick and easy to put people on the mark there. The hazard tape was also used to essentially section off where the light stands were to make sure that people weren't going to kick them as they walked by and what have you. You can never underestimate at any level and with any group of people just how clumsy people can be. And I've had situations where people have knocked the light stands and all sorts of things happen. And it's not worth thinking about. So the tape was used to two lots of tape, one for marking out the areas for the stands, and the other for just kept having a quick note of my settings. So did a couple of test shots. I believe I used myself just very quickly as a subject, just the camera, I think at something like probably about 35 or 50 mil setting, so fairly wide, at full arm's length, just a quick shot of myself just to see that the exposure was about right. So when the first people were there in front of the lens, I did a quick couple of test shots and we were good to go. And really, the settings didn't change because the light was constant, so that it I didn't need to change the settings throughout the whole of that series of pictures. So I'm just going to now open up a folder which has all of the pictures that I shot and therefore supplied. Now, let me just click here. I think I'm going to sneeze. I may not. Oh, excuse me. One of those irritating tingles in your nose and you're never quite sure. Okay, so the first set of pictures I have here, those pose shots weren't the first shots I did. I got the settings, then I went off to get on with the conference itself. So we'll come back to those in a minute. So the first pictures, and I supplied a total of 150 shots. And I started at about 2 o'clock and went through to, I usually finish around about 10 o'clock, something like that, in the evening, this is, of course. So they never want hundreds and hundreds of shots because they haven't got, as I've said this previously, there is such a thing as giving a client too much choice, and they're very busy people and they don't want to have to wade through hundreds and hundreds of pictures to get maybe 4 or 5 shots that they're going to use. So I limited it to 150 shots. I think last year it was, 138 pictures, and the year before that it was about 200 and something. But the reason the numbers fluctuate is when it comes to how many delegates want their picture taken with the keynote speaker. Of course, some years there are more people that want that than other years. So the first thing I have to do every year is to document the meet and greet sign-in process. Nothing particularly elaborate, just sort of looking through these pictures here. You've got the my client, the company there, number of representatives behind a table with all the sort of the name badges for the delegates, and they have some sort of plaques in the front there that have sort of like A to, I don't know what they got here, sort of A to J and K to S sort of surnames, so they know what they're doing. And it just, again, nothing exciting, just very simple sort of few handshakes, just smiley faces, people sort of kind of queuing and mingling and what have you. A few wider shots as well. There's one here which these were all shot at ISO 800 because the light was brighter because it's in a sort of a big auditorium. I was shooting just looking generally at these f6.3 at a 60th of a second, as I say, at ISO 800. Nice colours, again, very complicated carpets. These big swanky hotels do like their elaborate decor. There was the ambient light, there was sort of candle effect lights on the walls and candelabras and chandeliers from the ceiling and what have you. Lots of branding, making sure that this company's branding is there. It's they had like a couple of pop-up banners, sort of 7 foot tall things behind the counter there. They also had sort of drop down the front of the counter. I don't know how to, if you imagine you have a tablecloth and then that drops right down to the floor, it's essentially like that. It's not a tablecloth, of course, but I can't think of the word that I'm looking for. But you know, again, making sure that branding is well represented in these pictures. Took a few where I lifted the camera above my head just to get sort of a wider shot. It's really not the place to be standing on chairs and things like that, and I didn't take a ladder with me. Again, some wider shots just showing you've got a staircase here where people come up, so that features in there. Some wider shots, some mid-range, and then there's a couple of sort of closer shots, just people being handed their passes and what have you. I think in total I supplied, what have we got here, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 pictures of that setting. So again, they don't need a lot. It's just a generic kind of here we are greeting people, because all these pictures go into reports and what have you. So then we get on to the main conference itself, and the first speaker is a lady sort of introducing what's going on that evening and so forth. Again, I could go in really close just for headshots, but then you don't get a sense of the room, the atmosphere. You don't certainly don't get any branding, because the speakers here stood behind a lectern which had the logo on the front, and above them on a backdrop there's a big display screen where they showed graphics and what have you, and charts and this sort of thing. But to the right of that screen you have their branding and their name and logo, and that I guess was probably, I'm guessing, about 12 foot in the air, maybe 9 foot, something like that. So some of the shots I had to pull a bit wider to get that branding in. For these pictures I was shooting at ISO 1600, a little bit of exposure compensation in there as well, f5.6, on an 80-200 f2.8 lens, so not shooting sort of wide open, but you know, you're looking for pretty fast shutter speed. So as I kind of just skip through here, this one in front of me was 125th of a second. You pick your moment when people sort of pause, and you get flattering results. You don't want people looking as though they're yawning or shouting or what have you. Another one here, a slightly different viewpoint, f6.3, so this bit more detail in the display that's in the background here. Going wider so that we've got sort of out of focus heads in the foreground to show that you've got the all the delegates in the room there. And then we get to some shots where there's like a panel of speakers, and so this one you've got four people there all sat down, so went a bit wider, so you've got the branding on either side of that screen. Obviously the screen itself, you can see the lectern. This particular shot I'm looking at, no one stood at the lectern, they're all sat down on the stage just talking. But it's nice because where the stage the room lights were dimmed down, but of course there's the lights pointing onto the stage, so it's very bright by comparison. So what that does, where I was exposing for the I'm just gonna have to go and answer the door. Right, sorry about that. I have completely lost the thread of what I was talking about, but I can see that in front of me I've got this this panel. That's right. I believe I was talking about how bright the stage was. So because I was exposing for those brighter areas, what you get is the out of focus people in the foreground, which frame the speakers nicely, they go that much darker. So it's a really nice kind of like I say, just a nice frame. I varied the composition. Some shots are tighter than others. This was shot on a 24-70, and again at f6.3. But then the next shots were, let me just look through here. So the next shot, once I'd got some establishing pictures and making sure there was a record of that, I then moved on to photographing each of those, each member of that panel. Not exactly close up, but they're all sat down, so essentially full length, and then a little bit closer, head, shoulders, and arms, just to show that where they were speaking, they were obviously had their gestures to as they were talking. So you want to try and get a bit of movement in there, not physical record of the movement. You don't want any, blurred hands can be okay, but you just want to show that they are animated. That's the word. So I did a few of those, and then I went back to doing the panels of, instead of all four of them, maybe two or three of them at a time. Then there was another two-person conversation that I did the same thing for. Then it was back to the individual speakers at the lectern. So getting the branding in there again, sort of going in a bit closer on the top end of the 8200, so that I'm getting the head sort of from the top of the head down to about the waist, and then you've got the lectern with the branding there. I could, in theory, have had a more powerful lens. I could have put a 2x converter on that lens to double the focal length. But of course, if I'd done that, for example, I'd either have to, because I don't have big sort of 400 or 600 mil lenses, and it's not really appropriate for this setting anyway. My fallback is the 2x converter, but of course, what you have to remember with that is that it, by doubling the focal length, it also reduces the amount of light coming into the camera, so you lose 2 f-stops of light. So, for example, there's a shot here which was as close as I could get, and that is telling me that it was, say it's saying f6.3, but just to make it easy, let's say that I was shooting at f2.8. That actually would be, you drop 2 f-stops, so f4, f5.6, or if I was shooting at f5.6, it would be f11. And by doing that, of course, you get a slower shutter speed. And because the light wasn't amazing, and I had to work with what I had, I couldn't light these additionally. That really wasn't going to be an option. So I could, in theory, crop in to those pictures, but again, I don't need to, because I need to keep the branding in there. You can clearly see the people, you can see their expressions and what have you. Now, the next thing that I had photographed, there was a break-in in proceedings for a meal. So where all of the delegates were sat as the audience, and they were taking in the speakers, that area then got converted to have tables. And looking at the people in the foreground, you've got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 people sat around each table. And when you've got people eating, it's never the most flattering thing trying to photograph them when they're shoveling foods into their mouth. So you have to pick your moments. But they were more sort of having conversations than being in full flow of eating. So I managed to get around that again. Natural light, ISO 6400 again, because it was really not that bright. No flash used for these at all. F6.3, focusing on the foreground table, a 40th of a second. But because people were pretty static, that 40th of a second was actually enough to freeze the movement. So that was okay. Just did a few of those. What have we got? 3, 6, 9, 10, 11 shots out of that sequence, to include one or two shots which showed Condoleezza Rice just sort of in conversation specifically. After that, I went downstairs to do these posed shots, and I think the total, I won't waste time counting, but I think it was 50. There were 53 individual shots that I took, so 53 people that wanted, well, actually, there were 55 people that wanted their picture taken in total. We budgeted for 75, but on this occasion, that was the numbers. There were other people that turned up a bit late, and unfortunately, we weren't able to photograph them. But again, just very simple. I positioned Condoleezza Rice always on the right, as from my viewpoint. She wore a very striking suit or jacket, which was really nice against the. It was a red suit jacket against this blue backdrop, and it was actually her and her people that chose this backdrop. So of course, I'm sure she's had it worked out what colours work really well for her, her stylists, and this, that, and the other. But it just worked really well. So nice punchy pictures, making sure that people weren't blinking. I had, I took three shots of each subject, or each sitter, as it were. Could have maybe got away with two, but, you know, if people blink, you want to make sure that, you can't present a picture with them blinking. So again, just a fairly close crop. The shots I actually cropped in tighter. I always leave a bit of space around me because around the people in front of the lens for these, because I had to present these in 10x8 format. Now the sensor on my D3 fits the aspect of a 10x12 inch crop. With a 10x8, of course. Oh, excuse me, I'm going to have to pause again. So, once again, apologies for the interruption. It's clearly one of those days where I'm just not going to be able to be left to get on with things. But there we go, it does happen. So, where was I? We were talking about these posed shots, and I was saying about Condoleezza Rice and her clothes being very striking and punchy against the background. What else can I tell you? Shadows, there's not a lot I could do about the shadows because of the distance that I was able to work in between the confines of the room, between the backdrop, the subject, and myself. You do see a bit of shadow on the this backdrop, but there are no harsh shadows on the subject because I had one light either side of the camera, and pretty much front on. So it's really really quite a full frontal light lighting. And when I just look at these, obviously the shadows change a little bit, but in the most part, they are just below shoulders, just in the background there. They're not distracting at all. And they're, just absolutely fine. I suppose I could, if I had loads of time on my hands, I could sort of try and sort of reduce those shadows a bit. Sort of dodge those areas, but there's really no need. The client's really happy with the images. I was happy with that, and it's not a deal breaker, you know. So that was those shots, and then just to finish off, then the final shots of the evening were Condoleezza Rice giving her keynote speech, and the shots I did of that they followed exactly the same process as the previous ones that I described, where I was going a bit closer, going a bit wider. With all of these, I changed the aspect between sort of landscape and portrait, because you want to give variety. So you've got closer shots, wider shots, vertical, horizontal, so there's lots of opportunity to fit pictures into layouts and reports and what have you. The one thing that I was aware of this year is, in previous years I've had more access to walk around at the back of the room for where the speeches and talks are taking place. I could walk from one side to the other down the back where the chaps are with their table with all the lighting controls and audio and this, that, and the other. In the last two or three years, that's not been possible. That there are more seats have been put in the room, and it's blocked that. So I had to kind of pick my position, and I suppose I could have gone out of the room, round the back, through a couple of other rooms, back in through a back door, which kind of was into that room. That door was hidden by the backdrop to the stage. And I did that on one occasion, and I tried a few shots, and it just wasn't. It wasn't working so well for the effort that was required, and also potentially the disruption of me. You know, I try not to clatter around and walk around too much. So if I was sort of constantly being seen to suddenly sort of emerge from behind this the backdrop, that would have been quite distracting for everyone. So I just stuck to one side and shot everything that way. And like I say, everyone was happy with the results. Just again, finally, just looking at these last few shots, Condoleezza Rice in conversation with someone. You know, she's a very good speaker, actually, very friendly lady, very professional, and she's got a lot of she's really animated when she was talking, which was really nice as well. So those were sort of mostly shot on a somewhere in the region of 80 to 200 mil, but there's one shot here where I obviously changed my lens, and it's a wider shot just to show the room, the branding, the stage, and what have you. A lot of you may be thinking along the lines of, did I have a second camera body with a lens, a separate lens on it? Well, I could have. I took my D800 as a backup, and it was purely that because due to the low light levels, the D3 I feel handles low light better at the high ISO. And what's more, I know it's dependable. I know the D3 just works. It's my workhorse camera, and I've used it every year for the last few years at this same event, so I know how it handles this setting. So the D800 was just a backup. I didn't use it at all. One thing I did do, and I may have alluded to this previously, for the posed shots for the prints, I actually set that camera up to exactly the same settings just in case, so I wouldn't have to worry and think about it. So if you remember, I told you about that bit of tape with the settings jotted down. I did that because I needed to have that reference for the D3 when I took it back into that room to take those pictures. But those same settings were plugged into the D800, which stayed in my case. And if there had been any, problem with the D3, all I would had to have done was grab that camera, switch the lenses, turn it on, and it would be good to go. Now, I did also have some other lenses with me. Had a couple of prime lenses, which I was thinking of using, but then decided to stick with what I tend to do, because the zoom is quite handy for those meet and greet shots, because you can work quickly from that one spot, composing nice and quickly. I had my old 24-85, which is still a dependable lens, fairly similar, of course, in its perspective to the 24-70, but again, it was there really just as a backup. You know, shudder to think, but if I had dropped that 24-70 and what have you, to have the backup meant that I would be able to carry on shooting, and no one would actually be any the wiser if I had a separate lens on my camera. Most people wouldn't know the difference. So there we go. So I think that's just about it. Although I will edit this audio together so that there's not long gaps between when I've been speaking, I am sorry that I had to sort of break the flow of my what I've been saying. You know, when the phone rings or the door goes, or you know, all sorts of things happen in the course of recording audio. I don't like to edit it. I like to let it just carry on recording. But you know, it just happens. It's one of those things. I'm sure you don't mind, really, because like I say, you won't have been sat there for 20 minutes whilst you wait for me to return. So just to finish off then, if there are any questions about the technical side of things, and as I think I said this last week, any questions about conference photography and corporate photography, anything like that, then do let me know. And as ever, I will be happy to answer them. But for now, I will leave it there. With Christmas just a matter of days away, my thoughts are understandably now turning towards winding down and spending time with my family. That said, I will be putting together one further show, which, all being well, will go live just in time to see in the new year. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a fantastic Christmas, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.com.